Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, it's Andy Roddick, and I'm not just a former tennis player. I am a tennis fan, a tennis nerd. I just can't stop watching it. I can't stop analyzing it. I can't stop talking about it to anyone that will listen, which is why I started my podcast, Serve with Andy Roddick, now a part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. On the show, we talk about everything from new up-and-coming players to the champions dominating the narrative to whatever's on my mind. This January is the Australian Open, and you know I've got some thoughts. So tune in for our Australian Open coverage. Find Serve wherever you get your podcast or on our YouTube channel.
Welcome to Switched On Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm producer Rihanna Cruz.
Charlie, Rihanna, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're only, what, 3 or 4 weeks in to 2025, and it's a terrible year.
Yeah.
Wildfires. Sieg Heils at inaugurations.
Dark.
And on top of everything, I fractured my scapula.
Sorry to laugh.
Not spatula, as autocorrect likes to change it to. The shoulder blade. Got a big old broken bone as we record this. And yet, I'm here. We're all here. Mm-hmm. We must go on. How can we make 2025 a little more positive? How can we have something to look forward to? Fear not, comrades. I present to you the first edition of Switched On Pop Bingo.
Sweet.
We are going to make 2025 bearable by giving ourselves a little game to play over the course of the next 12 months. We are going to come up with 24 predictions that we anticipate occurring in the pop music world. And we are going to create bingo cards to share with not only the three of us, but everyone who listens to this show can play along. And anytime you encounter one of our bingo categories out in the wild, you can mark it down and we will update you week after week on the pod as we see things materializing. And you know what? Whoever gets a complete bingo will find some way to honor you for being the most assiduous pop listener out there.
Okay, so if you want to play along, subscribe to our newsletter in our show notes, and we'll send you your very own bingo card.
Okay, so we've got a 5x5 grid and a free space in the middle.
Yeah.
That means we have 24 predictions. That's 8 apiece.
Okay.
At the risk of this being a 4-hour podcast, we got to get into this quickly. And I want to give a shout out to the host of the podcast, Tipping Pitches, my favorite leftist pro-union baseball podcast, because they did this in 2024, and I was like, that it was so much fun. We're shamelessly cribbing that idea. So we're going to do it like this. Charlie will give us a prediction. Rihanna, you give a prediction. I'll give a prediction. And we'll go around like that. And eventually we'll have our full grid. And then after the break, we're each going to make the biggest prediction of them all. Who's going to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year? 8 megastars from Beyoncé and Taylor Swift to Chappell Roan and Andre 3000 are battling it out in the wildest contest in recent memory, with the winner being announced on February 2nd. So we're going to gaze into our crystal balls and talk about who should win Album of the Year. But first, to the bingo cards.
Okay, can I go first?
Take it away, Charles.
Bingo square number one, supergroup surprise. This is going to be the year that the next boy genius forms. Boy geniuses, of course, Phoebe Bridgers, Julian Baker, Lucy Dacus. They had a Rolling Stone cover. They were just like all the craze during the pandemic, but they didn't have a top 40 hit. So I'm looking for a supergroup with a top 40 hit. Doesn't count if you are a collab. You got to have 3 more members, a new name. And you get to be in the, you know, Hall of Fame with the likes of like the Traveling Wilburys, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne. They had a number 45 hit with the song Handle With Care in 1988.
Baby, you're adorable. Handle me with care. I'm so tired of being lonely.
All right, there's our first entry. A supergroup cracks the top 40. Rihanna, what have you got?
All right, so I'm predicting a music video comeback. Now, I know like TikTok was going to be banned and then now is back, right? But I think the ensuing discord over TikTok as an app is going to lead to a pivot away from the snippet-focused songwriting that we see on the app. And I think people are going to move towards the long-form music video. Now, there's an article, Do Music Videos Still Matter?, published by Chartmetric. And it says that 36 out of the top 40 tracks released between 2022 and 2023 had accompanying music videos. But those videos only garnered less than 400 million views, where the tracks themselves had over a billion streams. So there's clearly a discrepancy between the songs released and their videos. So I'm predicting 2025, we get back to the MTV days of yore and really put some emphasis on the music video.
So to track it, you're saying like video plays have to outdo streams.
Or at least equal. At least equal.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What do you got, Nate?
All right, I like it. I'm going straight to a controversial issue. I think in 2025, we'll see an AI-generated song hit the Hot 100. In 2023, we had a controversy when this anonymous producer named Ghostwriter created a song, Heart on My Sleeve, with the synthesized voices of Drake and The Weeknd. All I know is you could have had the world. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a song that is completely generated inside an AI program, say like Suno or Udio, and it's not trying to emulate anything else, is its own thing, and it gets all the way to the Hot 100.
I don't like it one bit. I have another one which I don't like. I think this could be the year of oligarch pop. I think this year, either a major oligarch or politician is going to release a pop song that becomes a viral hit. And this has happened before. Do you remember when Mark Zuckerberg's sister, Randy, put out a song about crypto? It was not good. Former Italian premier Silvio Berlusconi and former cruise ship crooner did put out a number of love songs in his career. Tu chocolate caffè, le capite che è morto per te, per il samba che tieni te bene con mia tenga te. And of course, former First Lady of the Philippines and controversial figure Imelda Marcos put out an album, Imelda Papin Sings Imelda Marcos, which later inspired a Broadway musical by the great David Byrne. When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will lend a hand always. So, oligarch pop, it's coming.
All right, I'm taking a massive. I'm taking a large. I'm talking pop star triple album. Okay. So I'm predicting a big pop star releases a behemoth of a record. I'm talking three discs, right? Because this year we saw several artists release massive, massive records. SZA just put out Lana, which is the SOS deluxe record. That has 38 songs. The deluxe edition of Tortured Poets Department by Taylor Swift, the anthology version, has 31 songs. Drake can't help himself from putting out a near 30-track record. I think we're really going to see in 2025 artists lean into this. And I'm seeing a three-disc triple album. I'm talking like near 40 tracks.
Wow.
All right. 40-plus track triple album.
Oh, yeah.
In 2025.
It's happening. Prepare your ears.
My next prediction involves an artist that's already come up a few times. He had a rough 2024. I'm talking about Drake, who was just flattened like a cartoon character under a steamroller by Kendrick Lamar. You know, how do you recover from that kind of public beatdown? I think you have to retreat to a genre that is welcoming to everyone. Drake goes country in 2025. Drake, we're going to hear a straight up country song from the embattled Toronto rapper. That's my prediction.
I don't see that as particularly out of pocket, Nate. I think that's honestly very on brand. In fact, last year, 2024, Drake actually put out a Corridos track that nobody's talking about with Chino Pacas and Fuerza Regida. Baby, chula, tell me now. Todas dicen papi, but I want no love. Fuga pa Toronto, Plaza del Viamón. Se le ve la mano, Rolex, un melón. And I've brought it up to everybody because Drake clearly is having an identity crisis. And I think country might be his next move. He's already done the Mexican version of country. So why not just full send?
The Drake Morgan Wallen crossover that nobody wants. Here it comes. All right. What is definitely happening this year, though? 1,000 billions.
Mm.
Currently, there are 863 songs at 1 billion streams on Spotify. They call it the Billions Club. There's a whole playlist. Last year, 323 were added. So we're close to that threshold. And if they continue at the same amount, unless we get flooded with so many AI songs that songs just simply don't make a billion, I think we're very likely to see 1,000 songs in the Billions Club. One of the latest ones, Elton John's Your Song, just joined the club.
Huh.
And you can tell everybody this is your song.
So my next prediction, you know, last episode we talked about Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny currently has the number one album on the Billboard 200. I think in 2025, we're going to get the first Spanish language number one hit since Despacito.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo.
So it's really been a minute since we've had Spanish number one.
Oh, come on. That's going to happen next week. Bad Bunny is about to get it.
Well, that gives people a little start, you know? We already have a given.
Dig it.
Okay, Charlie, my next one is kind of the opposite of the one you just gave us. Mm. You're talking about people flocking to Spotify to send songs up to 1 billion plays. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see the exact opposite reaction as well. I predict 2025 sees a Spotify boycott. Some organized mass of users will leave the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I anticipate, let's say, 3 high-profile artists remove their music from the platforms. We've seen people do this in the past. Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Taylor Swift. I think it's 2025 is the year of the Spotify boycott. We've seen too much of how this company is eroding musicians' ability to make an honest living. So I think this is the year musicians and listeners fight back.
All right. I think that this year we're going to see some video game fame.
Wow.
You know, a song primarily either made for or first featured in a video game is going to go into the top 10. You might think this is ridiculous, but we know that video games are bigger than Hollywood, and they have crossed over together to make a hit somewhat recently.
Peaches, 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 peaches. Ah! Oh, yeah!
Jack Black's 2023 song Peaches from the Super Mario Brothers movie went to 56 on the Hot 100.
Wow.
So I think it could happen in 2025, some video game fame on the charts.
Okay. I'm actually excited for that.
I like that. And maybe it ties into my next prediction. We're going to get a new genre on the Hot 100. There's going to be a new genre with at least 5 songs on the Hot 100. It's been a minute, right? Maybe it's video game music, like a chiptune moment, you know, hits it big. But I think the charts, genre-wise, have been pretty stagnant, you know, and we're kind of getting some of the usual suspects, right? Like, country's really big. Hip-hop had a pretty good year after a few years of declining numbers on the charts. So I think we're ready for a shakeup, and I think 2025 is going to give us something we've never heard before.
Cool.
This is fun. I can't wait to hear what new genres our listeners identify out there in the pop world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also thinking about what's new, Rihanna. In 2025, I think we are going to see an Afrobeats moment on the charts.
Yes, please. Yeah.
This is a genre that has been bubbling up for years, and we've seen some artists really break out recently. The South African singer Tyla with her hit Water, representing the Amapiano genre. Rima featuring Selena Gomez.
Baby, calm down, calm down. Yo, this your body, it puts in my heart for lockdown, for lockdown, for lockdown.
I mean, there's Burna Boy, there's so many artists from this genre, but I feel like it still hasn't had this like massive cultural moment. I think we're going to see that. Maybe let's say an Afrobeat song in the top 5 of the Billboard Hot 100.
I like that.
I think that this year is going to be the year of brain rot pop. Brain rot is the theme of 2025. The internet has ruined all of our minds. I think that we're going to see a song with the words brain rot either in the title or heavily featured in the lyric somewhere in the top 40. You know, if Baby Shark can do it, if Who Let the Dogs Out can do it, I mean, clearly brain rot can have its moment. And I think we need it because I would like to see the culture reach even lower than it did in 1999 with the Bloodhound Gang's The Bad Touch, which went to number 52.
Brain rot pop.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
What's our next prediction?
So my next prediction is two words, boy bands, all right?
Yes.
So, yes. You know, 2024, I think, was a tough year for the concept of the boy band. You know, Liam Payne, famously of One Direction, passed away after years of substance abuse issues. And I think there's a lot of scrutiny around the concept of a boy band lately. You know, like I just saw the movie Better Man. Robbie Williams' monkey CGI biopic just came out. It's a musical. It's a banger. But that movie spends a lot talking about like the tortures of being in a boy band. That being said, though, I think we've had a dearth of groups on the Hot 100, right? We've talked about this on the show. Billboard published an article the middle of last year that said groups used to rule the Hot 100. Now they're endangered on the chart. So I think 2025 could really see a boy band rise up and take one of the top spots on the chart. I'm talking maybe top 20. We're going to see a boy band.
Cool.
One of my favorite songs of 2024 was Megan Thee Stallion's and Yuki Chiba's Mamushi. And I learned that this was one of the few songs in the history of the Billboard chart with Japanese lyrics. And the last number one song with Japanese lyrics was all the way back in like 1963. So it's been a while. We've had this huge K-pop moment, but I think J-pop is going to rocket onto the Billboard Hot 100 and become a similar cultural phenomenon to what we've seen from K-pop over the last decade. So 2025, J-pop takes off.
I can't stand for the Mr. Roboto erasure, but I don't think it really counts.
Yes, we did miss that in our Mamushi episode. So important correction. Thank you, Charles.
Okay, I think we're going to have a 90s Phoenix rise again. Some major group from the 90s is going to have some kind of renaissance. They're going to put something new out. It's going to be in the top 20 of the Billboard 200.
Yeah.
And this is very possible. I mean, the last to do it, Blink 182, had a top 200 hit with their album One More Time. I think we're going to see another major 90s band revival. I'm looking at you, Creed.
Ooh, this is fun to think about. What about Joan Osborne 2025? What if God was one of us? Part two. Let's go.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us.
I dig it. Let's see it.
My prediction is kind of still in the 90s. I'm predicting a trance revival on the Hot 100. Now, I've talked about this for a few years now, and I'm really holding out hope that 2025 is the year that we're going to see trance music and its sonics appear in the top 40. Yeah. No, all night, all night synths. Exactly, Charlie. I mean, FK Twigs just put out an album, Eusexua. Heavy laden in trance and techno sounds. Addison Rae is going to put out a record this year as perhaps my most anticipated album of the year. And her record was recently described in Rolling Stone as very trancey and very poppy. Now, I'm not saying these songs per se will hit the top 40, but I do think they're the precursor and they're going to pave the way for perhaps a big pop star, you know, maybe like Dua Lipa with a song that sounds like an underground all-nighter rave.
I'm counting on Kesha and trance.
Hell yeah. I think that would be a really great pivot for her, too. Sold.
Okay, trance in 2025. Here's a more somber prediction. Charlie, you talked about a 90s Phoenix. I think we're going to see the exact opposite. I think we're going to see a legacy act bomb
Oh, no.
We all remember where we were when Katy Perry released Woman's World.
Oh, stop.
2024.
No.
That car crash of a comeback, sadly, is going to be repeated in 2025. And I think we just have to pray it's not Lady Gaga.
Stop. Don't will that. Don't will that into the world.
I'm sorry. I know that's close to home, but yeah, I think we are going to see a big comeback album from a major pop star flop in a really just hard to watch way.
Speaking of hard to watch, have you all been looking at the lights in the sky recently?
Oh, brother. Not you and the drones, Charlie.
We going drones here? Whoa. This was unexpected.
We're talking aliens. Like, the U.S. government is all of a sudden into aliens. I don't know how it's going to be in the new administration, but we've been getting all this, you know, these classified files coming out. I feel like peak alien fever is here. I think we're going to see a concept album that is about aliens chart in the top 20 of the Billboard 200. You might be thinking, this is ridiculous. Aliens? Can I point you to Janelle Monáe's Metropolis series of albums that featured androids, aliens, and stories about a future society? Or how about Ziggy Stardust, which served as a messenger for extraterrestrial beings channeled through the voice of David Bowie?
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa coming for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and rolling bitch for you.
I think it's possible that it's going to happen again this year.
I'm going to similarly go concept album, and my prediction is going to be a big soundtrack album. Movie tie-in soundtrack goes massive. You know, the Barbie soundtrack, which was released in 2023, sent hits all the way into 2024, right? Like, we had What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish really do numbers in the first half of 2024. So I think we're kind of overdue for a new movie soundtrack, you know, along the lines of Barbie and Black Panther. I don't really know what property it would attach it to at this point. You know, the Michael Jackson movie comes out in 2025. Maybe there's like a cover record happening there in the back half of the year. It could also be for one of the family movies coming out this year. I know there's a Minecraft movie starring Jack Black, another SpongeBob joint. So I think a soundtrack album has potential to hit it big this year.
I don't know if it's a development, but I think it's inevitable that My Little Pony has a Lil Nas X moment.
For my next prediction, I think we're going to see a hit song sung by a deceased artist, but not even an original song from them, like a brand new song using their voice. You know, what could this be? Elvis rapping about Pringles.
Oof.
Musk is going to revive the voice of Sinatra. Fly me to the Mars.
Bleak, bleak things happening in 2025. I thought we were keeping this light. I thought we were keeping this exciting.
I'm just trying to call it like I see it, folks. I think we have a Back from the Dead pop hit in 2025.
All right, for my final prediction, I'm going to pull a wild card. Kazoo makes a cameo. You might think that the annoying children's novelty instrument, the kazoo, I'm sorry, I'm probably insulting a kazoo orchestra somewhere here.
I have a kazoo sitting right over there. Watch it, Charlie.
Well, you know, the kazoo had an amazing cameo many years ago on Hendrix's Crosstown Traffic off the number one album, Electric Ladyland. I think we could use some more kazoo. In fact, can someone send some kazoos to the music studio named after that album? Electric Lady, do you have kazoos on hand? Let us know. I want to hear a kazoo cameo in 2025.
All right, my last prediction. So there's a song in one of my favorite movies, Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, that is titled Turn Up the Beef.
Turn up the beef. Throw your body on the flame.
Okay, that's the name of my last prediction for 2025. Turn up the beef. 2024 was a beef heavy year. You know, we talked about Kendrick and Drake on the show, and in the world of the pop star, you know, there was a little tension between Sabrina Carpenter and Camila Cabello. So I think 2025, we're going to see another massive beef hit pop culture, because clearly beefs are successful. Not like us. Kendrick Lamar's big diss record had massive acclaim, broke records, right? So the diss track is proven to be a commercial success and a critical success at that. So I think 2025, we're going to get more beef. I'm ready. I got my fork and my knife and my bib ready to eat it up.
What do you got, Nate?
Okay, my final prediction. For a long time, we've talked on this show about how songs are getting shorter and shorter. And in 2025, we're going to see a song that is less than 2 minutes chart on the Hot 100.
Mm.
Now, I'm not talking about like a skit or something,
right?
A little outro, because sometimes these pop up and they're just a few seconds. I'm talking about a proper song that does not last past 2 minutes.
Mm.
Some artists have danced around this last year. Jack Harlow's Lovin' on Me was like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Tommy Richmond's Million Dollar Baby was also in the low 2 minutes, but I want to see a sub 2 minute pop song. You know I like brevity. You know like I like them short. I like my short kings. So I want a 2 minute pop song on the Hot 100 in 2025.
Give it up for the 1 minute hit.
So there's 24 predictions for the pop landscape in 2025. We had more that couldn't make the list. Sadly, this is just, you know, the cream of the crop of our predictions. And I'm sure you all have some too, which we would love to hear. But this is now locked in. Remember, you can access your own individually randomly generated bingo card to play along over the course of the year by signing up for our newsletter at our website and keep us updated as you scratch these off, you know. Reach out to us on Instagram, TikTok, because some of these might be controversial, you know, a new genre. We need to debate some of these before we can mark them down. So that's going to be part of the fun of this as well.
Speaking of debate and bringing the beef, we have the craziest competition for Album of the Year this year for the Grammys. When we come back, we're going to debate and choose who we think should win at this year's Grammys for Album of the Year.
Turn up the beef.
So, Connie, there I was, 50,000 feet up, flying under the radar.
Wow, you're so brave, Trevor.
I was in a dogfight. The G-force was insane.
Maybe you were watching a film on my tablet. The sound is amazing.
At Argos, make movies on the go epic with the Samsung Galaxy Tab S10 Ultra. There's more to Argos. Argos.co.uk and in-store subject to availability.
It's Today Explained. I'm Noel King with Miles Bryan.
Senior reporter and producer for the program. Hello.
Hi. You went to public school, right, Miles?
Yes. Go South High Tigers.
What do you remember about school lunch?
Ooh, I remember sad lasagna shrink-wrapped in little containers. I remember avoiding it.
Do you remember the nugs? The chicken nuggets?
Yeah, if I had to eat school lunch, that was a pretty good option.
I actually liked them. But in addition to being very tasty, those nugs were very processed. And at the moment, America has got processed foods in its crosshairs.
It's true. We are collectively very down on processed food right now. None more so than Health and Human Services Secretary nominee Robert Fluoride Kennedy Jr.
I'll get processed food out of school lunch immediately. About half the school lunch program goes to processed food.
Can the man who once saved a dead bear cub for a snack fix school lunches? Today Explained, every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
On February 2nd, all the biggest stars in the world will be gathering in Los Angeles for a restrained Grammys due to the wildfires. Many of the parties have been canceled, but the award ceremony is continuing at this point. And, you know, there's dozens and dozens of awards, but we always look at the big four: Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best New Artist, and of course, Album of the Year. Now, do albums still matter? Absolutely. It's one of the big four categories. And this year, oh my gosh, have people brought it? We have Billie Eilish's Hit Me Hard and Soft, Charlie XCX's Brat, Beyonce's Cowboy Carter,
damn,
Taylor Swift, The Tortured Poets Department, Sabrina Carpenter, Short and Sweet, Chapel Round, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, and Andre 3000's New Blue Sun, as well as Jacob Collier's Jesse Volume 4. So, in the spirit of bringing the beef, we are going to do this tournament style, and we're going to debate two albums at a time. We'll each take a turn advocating for an album.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's three of us, one of us gets to be the deciding vote in each topic. We have eight albums, which gives us four rounds. That will give us four semifinalists, and we're going to choose a final finalist amongst those four.
Excellent. Can't wait to be an arbiter of taste.
This episode is like our Olympics. It's our games. Our games episode.
Nate, Eurovision is my Olympics, but yes, this game will continue. We begin with Billie Eilish versus Charlie XCX.
Wow.
Can we get a Mortal Kombat sound effect right there?
Literally.
Yeah, we have sound effects each time.
Mortal Kombat.
Nate, how do you feel about Billie Eilish's Hit Me Hard and Soft?
I'm a fan, Charles. This record was released in May, produced by Billie's brother, Phineas. It debuted at number one on the Billboard 200. And some of the standout tracks, which we talked about when the album dropped, Lunch, Birds of a Feather, Chihiro. I would describe the themes of this album as bending genres, being introspective about fame, being incredibly personal and vulnerable about things like body image, and even exploring Billie's queer identity. If I had to pick one song from this album to highlight, it would be Birds of a Feather. It was the highest performing song from the album, and it features one of the most classic chord progressions in pop music, the 50s progression, the Ice Cream Changes. 1, 6, 4, 5.
Nate, when we covered the release of this album, I think we did a 24-hour turnaround on that episode, and I had to make some decisions of what do we play, what's going to be interesting. The most accurate prediction I've ever made in my work as a music journalist was Birds of a Feather. I heard that song. It was not the lead single. Lunch was the lead single. And I was like, Birds of a Feather will be Billie's biggest hit off this album. And it's going to just like ride the charts for the entire summer. And it did. It went to number two. It did not beat Shaboozy's Bar Song. But little known fact, Bad Guy is her only number one song.
Well,
Charlie, did you remember to stretch?
Because
when you're patting yourself on the back like that, I just want to make sure you're not going to injure yourself. I want to make sure you're limber.
Smack him.
Says the guy who broke his arm.
Ooh.
Oh, that's low. That's low.
Wow.
All right.
It's getting on here. Turning up the beef.
All right. You better bring the heat with this brat defense now.
I mean, okay, let me just ask both of you. When you think of the summer and music associated with the summer, what would you say is the single word that describes the entire summer of 2024?
I'm going to say not like us, all one word, but...
It's Brat Summer. It's Brat Summer. Charlie XCX has been working her entire career to have this culturally defining moment. Her album Brat debuted at number 3 on Billboard 200, her highest yet. She had amazing singles, Von Dutch, Club Classics, 360, Apple, Guess. I mean, there's so many good songs here. You wanna guess the color of my underwear? You wanna know what I got going on down there? Is it pretty in pink or all see-through? Is it showing? And fundamentally, Brat taught us that it's okay to be messy and to be confident at the same time, which is to say, we can all be so Julia. Mm. Yeah, 360. When you're in the mirror, do you like what you see? When you're in the mirror, you're just looking at me. I'm everywhere, I'm so Julia. There are so many musical standouts here. I think the final two songs are the greatest mashup of all time. In the penultimate song, I think about it all the time. She's confronting what she wants to do next in her life. Is fame really worth it? Does she want to have a baby? I think about it all the time, that I might run out of time, but I finally met my baby, and a baby might be mine, cause maybe one day I might, if I don't run out of time, would it make me miss all my freedom? I think about it all the time. In the final song, 365, no, it's all partying. 365, she is the most aggressive party song I've maybe ever heard. Don't sleep, don't eat, just do it on repeat, keep. When I'm in the club, yeah, I'm 365, party girl. Should we do a little pee? Should we have a little line? I'm in the real world when I'm... Meet me in the bathroom. And it's It's also a reprise of the song 360 from the very beginning of the record. So the whole thing you can play on repeat over and over again, which I did over the summer. Now, listen, I will give you two counterpoints for this record, and I'll let Rihanna be the deciding vote.
Mm-hmm.
One could say that declaring Kamala brat might have decided the outcome of a major election, however you read that. And the song Guess, the remix of it featuring Billie Eilish, actually has more streams than any other song on Brat. Now, I think the remix album is arguably one of the best remix albums of all time. She completely re-recorded the entire thing. It's its own artistic statement. But that leaves us with Charlie versus Billie. Rihanna, who wins?
All right. I think that last point you made, that Guess featuring Billie Eilish had more streams than any song on Brat. It's a tough one. It's a really close race. But I think I'm going to give it to Billie Eilish. You know, there's a line on one of the Drake diss tracks from this year, right, that repeats in my head when I think about Billie Eilish. And it's, Kendrick just opened his mouth, someone go hand him a Grammy right now.
Hey, Kendrick just opened his mouth, someone go hand him a Grammy right now.
I feel like the Grammys do that with Billie Eilish, and I think they really, really love her. And so I don't know. My money is kind of on Hit Me Hard and Soft for this one.
Wow, going basic, just like the Grammys voter, is just going to give it back to Billie. You're a Charlie traitor.
Yeah, I know.
I was lucky to get famous brat hater Rihanna Kearns as the jury for this
one. Not rigging it. I promise this isn't rigged. I
know we have to move on, but this discussion is actually making me appreciate how much these albums have in common. Like, they're both very self-reflective. They're both made without any features. You know, they're very much like the statements of the artists themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they both were like soundtracks of the year in profound ways. So everyone's a winner. Okay, next category.
We've got round two.
Round two.
Beyonce versus Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Dun-dun. And so, Rihanna, now you have an opportunity to make your stance for Beyonce's Cowboy Carter.
All right. Cowboy Carter, not my favorite album in the world, but here's why I think it's going to win Album of the Year, okay? Released in March of 2024, everybody had their hands on this one, from Grammy favorites like John Batiste and Paul McCartney to producers like Rafael Sadiq, Soundwave, Swiss Beats. Miley Cyrus was on this joint. Post Malone was on this joint. Dolly Parton was on this joint. Come on. It's everybody was on this record. It was number one on the Billboard 200. It was critically acclaimed, you know, one of the biggest albums of the year, one of the best albums of the year, as regarded by a number of publications, okay? We got Texas Hold'em.
This ain't Texas. Oh. Ain't no Hold'em. Hey, lay your cards down, 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 down.
16 Carriages, Two Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus, Levi's Jeans with Post Malone. Beyonce just did the halftime show at a football game recently, called it the Beyonce Bowl, did only Cowboy Carter hits, and really took the field by storm, okay? And I think the album works well because it serves as kind of a tome, right, and a statement. It's an ideological statement of a record that country is Black music, okay? And it's always been Black music, and it will continue to be Black music. It's a really loaded album in that regard, but it has the music to back it up. I think there's a lot of musical standouts. It's a very long record. I think that's one of the issues with it. I put quotes around that if you really had to give a counterpoint to this argument. But one of the standouts on the record to me is Two Most Wanted, this duet with Miley Cyrus.
I'll be your shotgun rider till the day I die. Smoke out the window flying down the 405.
And Yaya, which is an incredible look at the history of Black music in relation to country. It's laden with samples, laden with interpolations.
She's picking up good vibrations. He's looking for sweet sensations. Ladies.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We're shaking.
Beyonce is the most awarded and nominated artist in Grammy's history, but she has never won Album of the Year. Okay, Renaissance lost to Harry Styles in 2023. Ooh. Beck's Morning Phase famously beat Beyonce back in 2015. So I think the narrative is skewing Beyonce this year. How are you going to be the most awarded artist in history but have never won Album of the Year 2024? I think she's going to change that.
I got to jump in real quick and share something about Cowboy Carter that we weren't able to pick apart when we did our show about it. And it has to do with the very first sounds that we heard on the record, which were the banjo sounds of Rhiannon Giddens on the hit single Texas Hold'em. And I learned after seeing Rhiannon Giddens perform that song that she's not playing it on any old banjo. She's actually playing it on the minstrel banjo. The minstrel banjo was one of the very first mass-produced banjo instruments, and it was created in the era of minstrelsy, in which white performers would put on blackface and play the banjo in the style of enslaved people. And so to reclaim that sound with the minstrel banjo and to open a country album with that instrument is a profound statement.
What an incredible accomplishment. This album is powerful. As a music historian, I find it incredibly exciting. But y'all, history doesn't win Grammys. Bops do. And you know who has them? Taylor Swift on her album, The Tortured Poets Department. Sorry, not the, just Tortured Poets Department.
You're already flubbing your argument. I mean, you have to take the most, the worst. Nobody wants to take the stance. And you can't even get the album right.
Okay, watch me do it, though.
Okay.
Okay. 2024 was the year of Taylor Swift, like it or not.
True.
It was the year of the Eras Tour. It was the year of every NFL camera leaving the action on the field to pan to a skybox. It was the year of breaking records and, in the midst of it all, dropping this almost surprise release and then dropping another whole edition anthology on top of it. I mean, this is like the imperial era of Taylor Swift right here. This is what the emperor throws down at the peasants from the golden throne. Here, another self-introspected Jack Antonoff and Aaron Dessner produced masterpiece. Here you go. And here's another. Here's your bread and circus. Here, I lost the plot here a little bit.
Does it have any musical standouts?
Okay, I have to get back to the bops. Yes, it does. It does. Let's talk about I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, okay? 'Cause I can do it with a broken heart. I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday every day. I'm so obsessed with him, but he avoids me like a plague. This is a song that takes all of Taylor Swift's narratives of heartbreak that she's been mining over the course of her career. And translates it to her present victory. We actually have like crowd noise in the back of this track, you know? This is the era's victory lap. And how empowering, not just for her, but for all her fans and listeners to hear this and to siphon off that same kind of energy and bravado.
Despite a broken heart, she can run on a treadmill and get ready for this Eras Tour and win the world and make $1 billion on tour. And the great thing is I get to be the deciding vote. And honestly, I don't think that the Grammys survive another year if they don't give it to Beyonce's Cowboy Carter. So right now, we've got Cowboy Carter up against potentially Billie Eilish, who is another Grammys favorite. She seems to lose nothing. But that brings us to round three, Sabrina versus Chapel.
Wow.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Sabrina Carpenter, man, she has been working so hard for so long, from that Disney career to six studio albums or so. And she's the best new artist as well, which doesn't make any sense. But that's not the point. She put out just the perfect pop album, short and sweet. Not only does it describe her stature, but it is a power-packed album that just defies genre. It's a postmodern bop full of country songs, folk songs, disco songs, bubblegum pop, rock, R&B. It explores Carpenter's love life and perspectives on 2020's dating, but done with just the most wonderful, winky, clever songwriting. Who on earth can top That's That Mi Espresso? Now Well, she can. She pairs it with a twangy curse on Please, Please, Please that just melts my heart. I love Short and Sweet. I think that this is the best album potentially of the whole year.
Rihanna Cruz.
Well, now I'm in a tough position because I agree with Charlie, but I have been assigned to defend Chapel Roan's Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. So
yeah.
I will put my debate hat on.
As a public defender here.
Exactly. I'm going
to
do my job.
Pick your clients. You know?
Hopefully I do it well. So Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess released in September of 2023, okay? So right. We have perhaps the oldest of the Album of the Year nominees.
Which, by the way, Rihanna, you were on it before anybody else. You spoke with Chapel on our show last December before anybody was paying attention. You
exactly.
knew.
Exactly. And the concept of the episode was artists to look out for in 2024. So who was right on the money? Me.
Look out for those kazoos in 2025. All right, sorry. Back to Chapel Run.
So the record is produced by Dan Nigro and features such hits as Pink Pony Club, mm-hmm. Red Wine Supernova, Hot to Go, which you cannot go anywhere this summer without hearing that. You know, Chapel Room drew the largest Lollapalooza crowd, I think, ever, I remember reading.
Whoa.
She has really been taking the world by storm, and the album as a whole is an emotional exploration of queerness and embracing queer identity in all of its guises. It's very outright. It's very forthcoming with its lyrics and its themes and the things that it talks about. She's speaking in very direct terms about being a lesbian, which is always fun to hear on a mainstream pop record. And a lot of people love it. You know, I don't know if I could consider myself a Chapel head, but I do respect it. You know, I think it was really, really hard to avoid this record. I have never pressed play on any of the songs myself in 2024, but I know the lyrics to every single off this record. And I think that says something, right? It says something about the melodies. It says something about the lyrics. They're catchy. They're memorable. I think it's the dark horse. A lot of Grammy voters really like Chapel Roan, so I think there's good odds her way. I hope I did a good job.
Nate Sloan, you get to decide.
You did a great job, Rihanna.
Thank
because
you.
Because Chapel is winning this round.
Wow, I'm 2-for-2.
Despite your hesitancy,
yeah.
You presented a really powerful case for this being maybe the most inescapable album of 2024. When you were talking, I was like, yeah, everyone sings these songs. They're multi-generational.
Exactly.
Even though she's political, it's like, I feel like people of all backgrounds listen to this music. And when I sit down at the piano and play that D flat 7 arpeggio that starts Pink Pony Club. Everyone in the room starts singing instantly, that hasn't happened for a while. So. Yeah, I'm going Chapel on this one. Sorry, Sabrina. I love you.
It might also be, you know, a political choice. You know, we're entering the second Trump presidency, you know, and he's already rolled back protections against LGBTQ folks like myself. So we could see maybe some Grammy voters throw some points to the queer record, which I like.
All right. So far, we've got Billie Eilish, Beyonce, Chapel Roan. That brings us to round four, the underdog round. We have got Andre 3000's New Blue up against Jacob Collier's Jesse Volume 4. Nate, how do you feel about the Flute King?
Andre 3000 is my personal hero. He has done something literally no pop artist has ever done before. 20 years ago, before this album was released, it was released in 2023, like Chapel. It's like kind of a, you know, late contender. In 2003, he released Hey Ya. Hey, 20 years later, he gives us New Blue Sun, a completely instrumental album dominated by his acoustic and electric flute playing. It's psychedelic, it's introspective, it's meditative, it's 87 minutes long. Its song titles are novellas unto themselves. For instance, That Night in Hawaii When I Turned Into a Panther and Started Making These Low Register Purring Tones That I Couldn't Control, Shit Was Wild. This album deserves Grammy of the Year because it would not just be rewarding the artistry on this album, it would be rewarding the courageousness of this album. Mm. And it would be Grammy voters making a stand for artistic bravery.
Mm.
And Andre 3000 even acknowledges this with the title of the first track on this album. I really wanted to make a rap album, but this is just the way the wind blew me.
Awesome.
I think that deserves its accolades.
I had some friends that hosted a New Blue Sun listening party, and we all sat down on cushions. We closed our eyes. We started listening to New Blue Sun. We made it through the first song, which I don't know if it was 15 minutes long, but it felt like it was 15 minutes long, at which point the hosts of the party were like, we can all talk. Like, we don't have to like just like sit and listen the entire time, because it just felt a little too awkward to get that heady. And so that is part of my argument against that record. My job, though, is to argue for Jacob Collier's Jesse Volume 4. I mean, come on, a quadrilogy? How many quadrilogies do we have in the world of popular music? This is a truly stunning work. You know, I got to talk with Jacob about the making of this album. I think I was the first person to interview him about making this record. And he traveled the entire world working with his musical heroes, putting together sounds that I think nobody else can put together. One might say that this is a boundless record. It doesn't have enough focus. There's too many different genres. I think Jacob Collier is the person who really shows us the universal nature of music and can bring together disparate sounds in really compelling ways. And there's no better evidence for that than the piece 100,000 Voices. The album begins with literally 100,000 different people singing.
Took a walk somewhere.
Jacob is famous for his live performances where he gets his audiences to sing with him. And we're not talking about sing-alongs. He does fully improvised harmonies of his audiences singing oohs and ahs. And he sampled these various recordings to bring 100,000 voices together. I mean, if that doesn't speak for the power of music, what does? We've got our modern Mozart here. Jesse Volume 4, obviously going to win.
These are two true underdogs, I think, for Album of the Year. I think I got to throw it to Jesse, Volume 4, and Jacob Collier.
Wow. Rihanna, I did not see that coming.
I know. I love New Blue Sun. I'm a flute head, you know.
No,
I'm a Three Stacks flute head, but the Grammy loves somebody who can really shoot for the moon musically. I think when John Batiste won Album of the Year in 2021, caught everybody really off guard, myself included. Mm. So I think the John Batiste Award for Album of the Year underdog goes to Jacob Collier in this round.
I mean, we literally have an artist who has been minted as the next big thing by Quincy Jones and Herbie Hancock have basically benighted this guy. That's what's going to happen. That leaves us, though, now in a very difficult position. We have four albums. We have Billie Eilish's Hit Me Hard and Soft, Beyonce's Cowboy Carter, Chapel Roan's The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, and Jacob Collier's Jesse Volume 4. And here's how we're going to decide the final round together. On the count of three, we're going to say out loud which album we think is going to win. And I hope that we'll find consensus. And if not, chaos will ensue. 3, 2, 1,
Cowboy Carter. Wow.
What? What? What just happened?
Maybe in contrarian.
Oh my gosh. Now, Nate, is that your personal opinion or your opinion of the Grammy voters?
It's both, baby.
Wow.
I think you all are underestimating Chapel Roan's moment that she's having and overestimating the Grammy voters' conscience. They don't care that they haven't given Beyonce an award. This isn't Meryl Streep at the Oscars, or this isn't Martin Scorsese. This isn't Leonardo DiCaprio at the Oscars or something. They don't care.
Right, Right.
They've shown over and over that they have no respect for her. Why should this year be any different?
Yo, Nate, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best albums of all time. We're giving it to Cowboy Carter. Two beats, one. That's what's happening at the Grammys this year. That's Switched On Pop's predictions. Bingo. Play along with us throughout the entire year. Get your bingo card by subscribing to our newsletter in our show notes on our website. Friends, this has been delightful. It's great to brawl with you all.
I've enjoyed our debate.
Till next year.
Switched On Pop is produced by Raina Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brandon McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, theme music by Zach Denario and Jossie Adams of Arc Iris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network and a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Find us on social media at Switched On Pop. Tell us, A, what bingo categories you would have added to your own 2025 edition, and B, what your pick for Album of the Year at the Grammys is going to be. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky.
Wherever you might be, we're there.
And make some noise.
We'll be back again next Tuesday with a new episode. And until then,
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.